Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady in the man's bedroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gun right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to everybody's favorite bi-monthly program, Pro Wrestling Flashback. How you doing, Crumpley? Or not Crumpley, sorry. I've been having a feud with Crumpley.
How dare you?
Contrere, I apologize.
Yes, I heard Crumpley's promo.
Yes, Crumpley cut a promo on me. Apparently, he's gotten in my head. You win this one, Crumpley. All right, so we are at the Nitro before Sold Out in 1998. The biggest news in WCW at this time was a big former WWF star had just joined WCW. And that person's name is Marty Jannetty, and he wrestles Chris Benoit on this Nitro. So we will get into that. So how you doing, Couture? How you been?
I'm doing okay.
Good, man, good. All right, let's go ahead and just start this off. All right, Rick Martel. Well, first off, they open the show up, and they're announcing that Rick Martel is going to be wrestling Eddie Guerrero. And what else is there? Benoit and Marty Jannetty is on the show. They have
Hogan against the Giant.
Hogan against the Giant, which was like it's kind of a big match for a Nitro because you know that was a pay-per-view main event. So
yeah.
It's you know, they build all this stuff, but we already know the ending of them. So let's just go ahead and start. All right. So Hogan and Bischoff come out. And Hogan kisses Bischoff on the cheek and says, I love this man. Which is insane that, like, they just... The whole Hogan and Bischoff thing at this point was so dated. And this was back in 1998. And,
yeah,
I mean, they still do this.
Now it's still on TV.
Yes, and, well, the NWO, like, kind of ran out of steam pretty quickly, and it was just because of the bad booking that, you know, everybody said. I mean, there's some gems, obviously, but there's just some bad booking, and this is one of those things. Like,
at this point, they were just like any other group on the roster, any other.
Yeah, there's nothing special about them anymore. Sting had beaten Hogan, okay? Sting had beaten Hogan at Starrcade right before this. And they did this fuck finish, and it was just so stupid. It was so stupid because Sting should have just gone over strong. And he could have killed some guys for 6 months and then maybe lost the belt to someone like that. Or, you know, maybe... Could you imagine if it was... This is me doing a little bit of fantasy booking. Can you imagine if it was Goldberg that beat Sting? As opposed to Hogan, I mean, it would have been much bigger, I think. Much bigger. And they could have built it up on pay-per-view, and I don't know. Just...
Yeah, they killed... That Starrcade match, I don't know, that killed Sting.
It killed Sting. It did. He was done. All right, so... Eric Bischoff...
Like Shawn Michaels beat Steve Austin at that WrestleMania that year.
Yes, that's exactly what it would have been like. Yeah, it would have killed him off. Because Sting was as hot of an attraction as you could get at this time. I mean, really, he really was.
He and Austin were the top two guys, I think, in the business at the time, the hottest two guys.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember, like, one of my cousins wasn't, like, a huge wrestling fan at all. He was just kind of a, you know, somewhat of a wrestling fan, you know. And he loved Sting. Loved Sting. He loved the NWO. And that, like, really got him into wrestling, was that. And it was just, I don't know, it was crazy that they just blew it. But, all right, let's get into this. Rick Martel and, what was the first match that we're going to? It's going to be, it's going to be Chris Benoit versus Marty Jannetty, sorry.
Okay.
Because the whole Hogan thing was just, he grabbed the bat and just says that he's using the bat to keep the fellow NWO members in line, and he was trying to file lawsuits to get his belt back, and that after he gets his belt back, he'll be a fighting champion. And he also said that he's going to be wrestling the Giant later.
Yep.
So Benoit wrestles Marty Jannetty, beats him, and then, of course, right afterwards, they the Flock attacks Benoit for this year-long feud. This feud went just too long.
It went long without a match.
Yeah, it went so long without a match that, like, when they finally started doing things that, you know, and Benoit would destroy the whole Flock by himself. So that was, like, another thing that was just killed off, you know, because he was a mid-card guy himself. Nah, that's stupid. Ernest Miller beat Jerry Superfoot Flynn with his big round kick. And, of course, it was a crappy match. Very, very stupid. Scott Hall comes out, does a survey, of course. He said that he gets to fight whoever the champ is, comes Super Brawl, because of the World War III Battle Royal. I remember how excited I was for this, because I was a huge Hall fan, and I knew he was going to win the title. But, I mean, at the same time, it was exciting, because it was awesome, you know what I mean? Like, Hall was awesome. He was so good at the time, and, like, you know, he was kind of having his problems, but he had good matches.
I thought he was a really underrated guy.
Yeah, of course. Of course, he was great. He was, you know, he was a good character. He could have those main event matches, you know what I mean? He knew how to wrestle that style.
Yeah.
But, of course, he stuck in this feud with Larry Zbysko. You know, and he looks at Larry and he's like, "Hey, Larry, let's tell the truth about your wrestling career. You were the AWA World Heavyweight Champion, right? But wasn't your boss your father-in-law?" And he goes, "Then the AWA went out of business with you as champ," which, was that true?
All true. All true.
So, and he goes, "You're not even the best wrestler/announcer in this company. You certainly ain't no Dusty Rhodes." And he goes, "Dusty Rhodes started..."
Foreshadowing right there.
"Yeah, Dusty Rhodes started me, and deep down, I know Dusty's proud of me." And then Zbysko said, "I want you. I want every part of you." And then, then for some reason, I'll never know this. I'll never understand this. I've kind of talked about this before. He looked at Hall, and he made a circle with his hands, and he said, "Hall, you're going to be sold out," which makes absolutely no sense at all. Like, why? What does that even mean, Couture?
I have no idea.
and I'm like, there was like a running joke with my friends, and I, like, forever, like, forever. You know, like, we laughed about it and cracked up. Well, like, at a fan convention, like, a couple of years ago in Kokomo, Indiana, I met Larry Zbysko, and I got him to record my voicemail, and he said, "If you don't leave Mike a message, you will be sold out." And he didn't even know that he had said it, you know, after I tried explaining it to him. But I had that voicemail for a long time. So
should have got him to say, "If you don't leave Mike a message, you're a spud hit," or something like that.
Yeah. Spud head. Zbysko is an idiot. All right.
He has a good delivery, though. That's about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So then the Steiners with Ted DiBiase, let's get into this. Ted DiBiase is one of the greatest characters in wrestling possibly ever. Million Dollar Man was just a great gimmick. But when he was with the Steiners, it really watered down their gimmick. Like, it wasn't a good fit at all. Him not being the Million Dollar Man was just bad.
Yeah, he's a heel.
Yeah, he's not a babyface at all. He can't pull it off, and he really didn't. So I always hated them together. And it was not good stuff. Well, the Steiners beat Buff Bagwell and Conan. Let Scott pin Conan. And Zbyszko, of course, said that Conan might do better in the ring if he pulled his pants up. Like, Larry Zbyszko is just like that old white guy, you know what I mean? The old Republican, you know, just there.
He reminds me of talking about pulling your pants up when I was in high school. You know, you had certain kids, they'd wear their pants and have them riding, like, way down. Our principal at our high school, he'd go around with duct tape and tape everybody's pants up. He said, if you ain't going to wear them right, then he would just make them a belt out of duct tape so they had the pants all the way up. Everybody looked like idiots. But I thought it was funny, so I never wore my pants like that.
That is funny. That is funny. Then
continuing the Scott heel turn right here. I think he palmed the ref in the face or something like that and never tagged Ricky in.
Yeah, he never did. And then Mike Tenay does an interview and asks why DiBiase wasn't bringing Rick and Scott together. And after the match, Scott posed right in Buff Bagwell's face. DiBiase got in Scott's face about his selfishness. And then Rick Steiner kind of stepped between, but they kind of had a little standoff right there.
Yeah.
And the whole Scott Steiner thing was, he legitimately was out of control. He really was. He's just a crazy dude.
Made him so awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Bobby Heenan comes out, second hour. They talk about that giant Hogan big TV main event. Giant comes out for an interview with Mean Gene. Nash and Hogan walked to the ring. Nash got in the Giant's face, holding a cup of coffee. Of course, I wonder where that's going. You know, Hogan has Sting's baseball bat. Randy Savage comes to the ring. Hogan told Randy Savage to go to the back. Savage pretended to leave, but then returned and shoved Hogan into Nash. Nash threw coffee into the Giant's face, and then Hogan bashed him with a baseball bat. Sting came up to Hogan from behind and gave him the Scorpion Death Drop, like for the first time ever. And then Sting got his back.
It wasn't the first time ever. He'd done it a couple of times a year before. So
did he win?
When he showed up and turned on and finally turned on him, like, in that uncensored match, you know, like, back in March.
Yeah, he didn't show get Hogan.
The air. Yeah, he did, because the show was going right off the air when he was dropping him in the Scorpion Death Drop. I distinctly remember it, because that's how it went off the air, so.
Well, then after he did that, he got his bat back, and then Sting whispered something in Giant's ear. Maybe meet him at his hotel later or something. I don't know what happened. But then Giant showed some fire. And so that was exciting stuff. And next week, Tony Schiavone announces that every Nitro from here on out will be 3 hours, according to Tony Schiavone.
That's
oh, boy.
We watch wrestling show every Monday night. I probably liked it at the time.
I did like it. I was excited.
Like, if it was today, I'd probably kind of groan at it, you know?
Yeah. Booker T beat Mortis while defending his WCW TV title. He just destroyed him. After the match, Wrath attacked Booker T. So then Rick Martel ran to the ring to get Wrath out of there and thanked him. So then Rick Martel asked for a TV title shot. It sold out. And he said, sure, he'll fight him as long as it's cleared with the championship committee. They still, of course, say that, which is awesome. All right. Gene Okerlund has Ric Flair come out. Flair's talking about Bret Hart and wondering what everybody's going to call him when he beats Bret at Sold Out. So then Brett's crappy WCW music plays, And he comes out. Flair leaves, you know, trying to be the cowardly heel, but it just doesn't work. Fans start to chant USA because, you know, it's only been a little bit since they dropped the angle, right? Just a couple of months.
Yeah, since he left, yeah, in November. Since he left WWE.
Brett said that Saturday was going to be a long day for Ric Flair, and his goal was to just run right over him. And he said, you can take your legacy and your history and compare it right with mine, side to side. And he said that Sunday morning, Ric Flair is going to wake up and feeling the words, the best there is. And then Flair said that he won't let Brett tell him he's the better wrestler than him one more time. Flair said he won't fight Brett because he's dressed up and he's going downtown tonight. Of course, it's awesome. And then Flair gave Brett one last chance to say he's the best. Brett told Ric Flair that those words would be ringing in his ears Sunday morning. And that was that. So Chris Jericho wrestles Hoovy, and he beats Hoovy in about 5 minutes. And after he holds the move on for, you know, a long period of time, he told the crowd that it would never ever happen again. He wouldn't apologize to Hoovy, but Hoovy was walking away. So Jericho got mad and attacked him. And then Ray Jr. came out for the save. And, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's leading to Ray and Jericho that on the pay-per-view coming up. So.
Yep. All right. Lex Luger beat Scott Hall by DQ. And what was the NWO running? Yeah, it was Savage
ran
in.
They just beat Luger down.
Runs in.
Yeah.
And Hall rips open Larry Zbyszko's shirt, which is, you know, whatever. All right. The Giant pinned Hulk Hogan. This is insane. They always have DQ finishes on every Nitro. Every single one.
Mm-hmm.
So then Hogan body slams a Giant, falls up with a leg drop. When the ref's about to count to three, Randy Savage runs out, climbs the top rope. And Hogan looks at Savage, like, what are you doing? Then the Giant chokeslams Hogan and just gets the pin.
Well, for Nitro at the time, this was a unique finish, actually having a finish.
Yes, I mean, well, no one beats anybody in the main event, and they actually beat the Giant. It was just crazy.
Or beat Hulk Hogan.
All right. Oh, yeah, sorry. Which is crazy, yeah. All right, do you want to run through Thunder?
Let's see, Shivani started off with Tony Schiavone read a press release, and it said Roddy Piper be it sold out, and J.J. Dillon was calling Piper, Scott Hall, Sting, and Hogan out to the event for a major announcement regarding the WCW title. They showed footage of Roddy Piper on Walker, Texas Ranger.
What a great episode that was, too.
Oh, did you see that episode? Are you being sarcastic?
No, I have. It was the it was like the Owen Hart thing, right?
Oh, when somebody like got killed or something in
Yes.
Yeah, I remember something like that.
That's
I remember
that
they
was
did
the
some
episode.
Kind of a takeoff on the Owen Hart thing on one of the Walker Texas Rangers or something like that.
Yeah, it was the one with Piper.
Yeah. And see Scott Steiner with Ted DiBiase beat Conan in about 2.5 minutes. Both Bagwell, Scott Norton, and Vincent all got involved in the end. Ray Traylor and Rick Steiner made the save, and Shivani pointed out that Scott didn't even acknowledge his brother in appreciation of being saved by him. Kevin Nash came out to the center of the ring and said that he had a trick up his sleeve, and that by the end of the show, he'd antagonized the Giant and ended up $1.5 million richer because they got the, what did they call it?
I don't remember what they called it. Did they call it like a bounty or something, or fine?
Maybe some kind of performance bond or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a bond. Yeah. That's what it was.
And
he promised
his spine is going to snap.
Yes. His spine is going to snap.
Chavo Guerrero Jr. And Super Kolo beat La Parka and Silver King. Tonight you joined in on commentary.
Always, because Tony Schiavone's too white. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, and Bobby Heenan and whoever else was on here, Bobby Heenan, he don't care. So.
Yeah, of course. He'd be like, wow, that was interesting.
That's
what he said, which was like pretty racist, but I always thought it was kind of funny, where he said that they shouldn't have brought all those luchadors in. They should have just brought two of them in and bought like 40 masks.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
Raven walked down to ringside without the flock during this match. La Parka went nuts with a chair after the match, and Liz Mark and El Dandy, Psicosis, and Hoovy all joined in the brawl after the match, which is good enough to an 8-man that the announcers never brought up at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They went to footage taped earlier with Nick Patrick backstage. He was going to defend himself against his recent controversy at Starrcade. Before he could begin talking, Rick Martel walked in the arena and accidentally interrupted him. Kidman then confronted Martel. And
this segment, just really fast, speaking of interrupting, was hilarious. Was absolutely hilarious. Just because, like, Rick Martel just shows up, like, he doesn't know what's going on. He's like, oh, sorry. Awesome. Awesome.
He's like, he's in this brand new company and he shows up like late for the show or something. I don't know.
Yes.
And then Rick Martel shows up and Kim and confronted Martel and talking about how Perry Saturn would be the TV champion. And Martel shoved Kidman. Saturn then showed up and threw Martel through a glass door. I remember this. And
you don't?
I do remember it.
Oh, okay. I was like wondering. Yeah, so the best part is there was another door open, and the glass was already broken on the other door. So clearly this was take two.
They plugged a Boston Brawl. They did these pay-per-listen things on the internet.
Yes, pay-per-listen.
Sounds kind of goofy, doesn't it?
Okay, what it was is a pay-per-listen was they would have these house shows, and you would just hear the commentary, and that's what you'd hear. That was it. They'd tell you what's going on.
It was no different than, like, the wrestling hotlines when they would have, like, live play-by-play on those hotlines, like they used to do.
Like, did you ever do the pay-per-listen?
You could call the hotline, like, during the Clash of the Champions, and hear, like, Lance Russell and Gordon Solie calling the matches or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was, like, 99 cents a minute. This is a whole thing for $8.
Yeah.
Which is – did you ever order from WCW Shop?
No.
Oh, well, see, I was, like, younger, you know. I was, you know, like, 16 years old or something like that, so. And wrestling was so hot at the time, I thought it was so cool. And I remember one time, they had, like, a clearance sale or something, and I spent, like, literally, I think it was, I want to say, over $100 on the website on T-shirts. I ordered, like, 15 or 16 T-shirts. So I was, like, this cool guy, I thought at least, because I got these WCW shirts, and the shirt that I'm dead serious, I was so happy and so proud to have was a NWO black and white shirt, but it was reverse. It was a white shirt with black on it. And I thought I was the coolest person in the world because everybody had those black and white shirts, and no one had the white and black. Mm-hmm. Well, like the first day I had it, or like one of the first days that I had it, like I spilled something on it. So, of course, there was like a little bit of a stain. And then like I let my buddy Matt borrow it, and I never got it back. Never again. I wore it once. He borrowed it, and then it was gone forever. So never let your friends borrow your clothes, people. That's the moral of the story.
Speaking of Rick Martel, didn't you get you a Rick Martel action figure?
Yes, actually, I did. The other day, like, because I collect the Legends toys, as I've talked about on the show, like, numerous times. And the other day, I got off work, and I headed to Walmart just to see, you know, what they had. Like, you know, because I've been waiting for these Legends figures to come out forever, like the new series, like the I think it's Legends Series 5 or something. And I've been waiting forever. And so I was just stopping by to see what they had, and they just had them all there. So I was like, awesome. So I finally got that. I got the Bam Bam Bigelow. I got the Akeem, the African Dream, and I got Rick Martel. But the Rick
like
Martel
model,
is probably the best.
The Rick Martel in the model, when he was the model?
Yes, he's actually wearing the jacket with the pin that says, yes, I am a model. And he's carrying a thing of arrogance, and he's wearing sunglasses.
Awesome.
It's perfect. It's a great, great figure. Yeah, so, yes, I did. So, and but when Rick Martel was in WCW, I really liked him.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was awesome. He really was. He was really, really good. He was really good. All right, let's go on and continue with this. By the way, this paper listens, I actually, I downloaded one of those, like, not too long ago. Of it wasn't the Boston one, it was another one. But I found
one
online.
In LA?
Yeah, that's the one that I think I did.
And
yeah, it was the one where Chris Jericho won the title. And to be honest, it was kind of cool. I mean, it was something to listen to. Like, I like to do multiple things at one time. So, like, a lot of times, like, if I download a TV show, I won't actually even watch the show. I'll just, like, listen to what's going on while I'm doing something else. Because I like, so it kind of worked out for me, that whole paper listen thing. But, you know, at the time where internet wasn't where it was then, like this was back, you know, in 98 where, you know, I don't think they even had high-speed internet yet, did they?
I think some very few places did, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because I didn't get it until, like, 99 or 2000. Like, I remember my dad got it, and he's like, hey, you know, we have a cable modem. I was like, what is that, you know? And he's like, here, go download a song. So I got on Napster, of course. I downloaded a song, and it, like, you know, it downloaded in, like, a minute or two, which now if a song took a minute or two, I'd be pissed off. I was like, why is this going so slow? But at the time, like, you know, I was used to a single song taking, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Just to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'd go to work and They had the high speed lines there at work, and I'd just go to work to get on the computer so I could download music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, think about dial up today. That sounds like caveman shit here in 2011.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. People still have it though. People still have like something like it.
I couldn't go back to that if I had to. I mean,
I couldn't either. I could not eat. As a matter of fact, there was like a 1 week span where while I was moving, I didn't have any internet. So what I actually did was I like tethered it like through the internet on my cell phone
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't go back, and it was still faster than dial up. There's no way I could ever go and use dial up. There's no way you could go back to that. It's impossible. But so Dean Malenko wrestles. Beats Marty Jannetty, who second week in a row has an awesome match, or you know second
Marty
day Jannetty in a row.
Around, he wasn't around very long, was he?
No, Jannetty was not around.
Maybe
MJ
like,
was
maybe
not in the house too. For a long time. That's what he'd do. He would Marty Jannetty would run the ropes, do a flip, look at the camera, and say MJ's in the house, and then he'd lose, and then he left eventually. Kendall Windham lost a close one to Goldberg. Got destroyed, actually. Scott Hall comes out.
I wonder if this is like a... Because I haven't seen Kendall Windham in years at this point.
Well, he had been in jail, hadn't he?
Yeah, he and his dad went to jail for counterfeiting.
Yeah, how long were they in for?
I have no idea how long. I don't know how long.
I'm gonna try looking that up. Here, review the what happens right now, and I'll try looking that up.
Okay. Yeah, Scott Hall came to the ring and got a rare pro WCW anti NWO response to when he was doing his survey, and Louis Spicoli, who was kind of like he was kind of like Scott Hall's flunky at that time.
He was a bit Chris Farley-esque flunky.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like Chris Farley. Unfortunately, they kind of ended up the same way. But Louis Spicoli showed up with Zbyszko's golf club, because if you've listened to any Zbyszko commentary for like 10 years, he's a big golfer. And
yeah.
He began breaking the golf clubs. And then Zbyszko showed up. Paul said Zbyszko couldn't even beat Spicoli. And Zbyszko entered the ring and took Spicoli down, and then Hall made the save for Spicoli. So, building up to that, Scott Hall and Larry Zbyszko matched pay-per-view.
All right, going back to Kendall Windham really fast. He was pretty much on top of the world at the time. Like, he was in Florida Championship Wrestler. He had just beaten Dustin Rhodes for the Florida Championship Wrestling heavyweight title. And
this is 1989, right?
Yeah, and then 1990, him and his dad were arrested by the Secret Service because they found $500,000 in fake $20 bills, and they spent 24 months in prison, and they were released in 1992. Then he went to ICWA in Florida for a while, and then went to All Japan for a tour, was in WCW for a little bit in 94, which I don't remember, and then was in ECW in 95, and then came back to WCW in 97.
Yeah, I remember. He was also in WCW. He had just come back to WCW like in 1989, and he was doing something on TV with him. And I remember... It was at a meeting. Jim Cornette always tells the same story. They read the booking meeting with Jim Herd, and he tells Jim Herd that Kendall's not going to be around for a while because he and Daddy got arrested. So, and Jim Herd looks at Cornette and says, "I'm tired of these goddamn no-shows, and I'm looking at you when I say that." And Cornette says, "Well, don't look at me, motherfucker. I ain't the one that put him in jail. So, what do you want him to do? Send him a cake with a file in it or something?"
Yeah, that's so funny. What do you want me to do? Send him a cake with a file in it. That's so freaking awesome. All right, Rey Mysterio beat Eddie by DQ. Jericho, of course, came, interfered, attacked Rey. Eddie was upset with Jericho at first, but then he joined Jericho in beating Rey. And then Benoit comes in and... to face off with Jericho, which, why did Benoit show up?
What did what?
Oh,
Benoit,
yeah,
was
Benoit
in
was about to have a match
with Jericho.
Jericho,
so, yeah. He was in the upcoming match with Jericho, so that's why he came out.
Yeah, so then Benoit beats Jericho, which...
tremendous finish. He taps out before he can apply the crippler crossface.
Yeah, because he didn't want to get any pain.
That's awesome.
It's very good. It's very good. All right, Bischoff and Hogan come out, of course. They have to do this every show. And he said that it's sold out. Everybody will be there to worship the ground I walk on. Good things come to those who wait.
Dick sucking every week is like vomit-inducing at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
And he said that he's a patient fisherman. And then,
a patient fisherman.
Yes. Hulk Hogan, the patient fisherman. So then, Rick Martel wrestled Saturn, beat them in an awesome match. They were Rick Martel was so good. So good. I mean,
yeah.
Awesome.
I always thought he was tremendous. He had the best babyface comebacks. He'd get fired up.
Yeah, yeah. He was all. He was not like Teddy Biasi in where he could only be a heel. He was a great heel and a great babyface. Just great at both. Very good. So he beat him with a Quebec Crab. Really good match.
That's kind of weird having him do that when that's Jericho's finish at the same time. You know?
Well, Jericho's was completely different, though.
Yeah, but still kind of it's kind of the same thing. You know, most people just see it as the same.
Yeah, but you got to think Jericho probably couldn't say anything at the time. He's a low guy on the totem pole, and Rick Martel's, you know, a veteran that's been around forever.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, you know, could you picture Jericho at the time? Like, hey, Rick Martel, I've been, you know, I was in ECW last year, but hey,
well,
I'm going to go ahead.
Like whoever the agents are helping put their matches together would probably say something about that. And that really, so much
this was WCW, though. This was WCW.
Hey, that's right.
Ain't no one going to say anything. All right. So, all right, so Martel wins. Hogan's still a patient fisherman. The Giant beats Scott Hall by DQ. So the Giant could beat Hogan, but he can't beat Scott Hall. So
and have Giant have any momentum going into his big match on his pay-per-view? So.
Yeah. Nash punts the Giant with something. Hogan attacks the Giant. Lex Luger. Because Randy Savage, of course, shows up and gets on the top rope like he always does. And then Luger shoves him. Luger racked Randy Savage at ringside. Nash taunted Savage, but wouldn't help him. I felt like they bullied Randy Savage. NWO was so mean to him.
Well, he wouldn't have done it, to be fair.
He what?
He was a crazy person.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, whatever. All right, let's get to Sold Out.
Well, no,
wow.
We
got
to talk about the finish of this match. When Nash taunted the Giant, and the Giant couldn't hit him, so he physically grabs the ring post and tears down the ring. This was tremendous. I remember this because Scott Hall was still standing in the ring, and while he's doing it, Scott Hall's like in the middle of an earthquake.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just wobbling everywhere, and he doesn't know what to do, and Giant's tearing this. This was like when Brock Lesnar suplexed the Giant and collapsed the ring in WWF, WWE.
I thought this was way
Remember
cooler.
That?
This was way cooler,
was
I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he tore the fucking ring apart. I'd never seen that before.
No.
It's awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
It would not have been as awesome if Scott Hall didn't sell it like he did in the ring.
Scott Hall.
Like he was tremendous.
Yeah, he was so great. He was just so great.
I'm sure he stumbled like that many times, but that was just awesome.
Yes, yes, that was definitely awesome. Have you noticed that our show, takes us twice, because of the Thunders, it takes us twice as long to get to a pay-per-view now?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, because of Thunder. And now Nitro going 3 hours, it just takes twice as long. What I was thinking is, are you normally busy on Saturdays?
No.
All right. Yeah,
because
well,
it depends. Like, I mean, like, it depends on what time it is during Saturday.
Okay, yeah, because, like, if I could definitely normally record on Saturdays. Or if, like, you know, we always get off track, you know what I mean? Because my work schedule changes very, very often, as you know.
Yeah.
And so we'll just have to, you know, work around so I can get more shows in because it's just hard to.
It depends on if it's, like, if it's the afternoon, then I have no problems.
Yeah, afternoons are always normally what it'll be. So, all right, cool. All right, so Sold Out. I'm sure we will go detailed on this, too.
It was kind of weird, you know, at the time because they started labeling their shows like co-promotions with WCW and NWO. Like there wasn't even a battle anymore between them or something, you know? They just co-promoted. It's the WCW New Japan Super Show or something like that. I don't know. You know,
it was very weird. And this was in Dayton, Ohio, and I believe it was in Ohio the year before, correct?
I can't remember. I tried to block that show out of my mind.
All right.
Maybe Cedar Rapids, Iowa, or something. Cedar Rapids, Iowa was the year before, I think.
Oh, okay. Still, same.
I don't know how I remember like that.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. All right.
So much professional wrestling, like all the different types of cities and shit in the United States just from watching professional wrestling. It's amazing.
It is. I mean, this show, which was not that the best built-up show, you know, that there was, drew 15,000 people there.
Well, they were still hot at the time, so, you know, they were still sellouts pretty much.
All right, the show starts. Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone are joined by Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty's there wearing a WCW hat, which is, So, opening match, Psychosis, La Parca, Silver King, El Dandy. They beat Chavo Jr., Lismark, Hoovy, and Super Colo when Psychosis beat Chavo Jr. Just a bunch of high spots, bunch of stuff. And the finish was pretty cool, though, that second rope DDT by Psychosis. I needed to just say it again. He was just so awesome. He was like Rey Mysterio, but bigger and better. He's just awesome. Chris Benoit beats Raven via submission with a crippled crossface. Finally.
Jesus Christ.
Finally.
Like 3 or 4 points.
Yeah,
the finish
here
was awesome. Raven was in the crippled crossface and was smiling. You remember that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
He just kind of, I guess he just kind of passed out, but he's just sitting there smiling like he's enjoying what's been doing to him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so then the Flock attacks Benoit for the match. Dean Malenko makes a save. And so it's Benoit and Malenko feuding with
I'm
the Flock
kind of surprised
now.
That Benoit won this match. I figured Raven would go over being the. Really, he. It was like one of his first big program, if you think about it.
Yeah, but they saw a lot in Benoit. All right, Chris Jericho beat Rey Mysterio. I remember watching this and I was shocked that Jericho won the title. Wins the Cruiserweight title, and the story was that Ray had a hurt knee.
Yeah, and he legit hurt his knee.
Yes,
because he was out, remember, till Bash at the Beach in July this year, that year.
Yeah. So he beats him with a lion tamer. He grabs the microphone, says it's one of the greatest moments of his life. Then he said, "You like me? You really like me?" Then everybody booed him, so he took it out of Rey Mysterio. And then Bash raised leg against the stairs. Then he, of course, said sorry. And there goes Rey off into the sunset for a little while, which is fine. You know, he's injured, so got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
All right, J.J. Dillon gets interviewed about the title situation. I'm sure everybody's very concerned about this WCW title. All right. He said that the title situation was complicated, and he had consulted former interim commissioner Roddy Piper regarding the decision. Piper comes out. He dubbed himself the independent counsel, and the decision that he makes will stick. And he said he knows more ways than Bill Clinton has alleged girlfriends to keep the WCW belt. So, of course, you know, he called for Sting, Hulk Hogan, and Scott Hall to come to the ring. Piper said that Bischoff is insecure and that he's a little guy who likes to hang around big guys. Piper said Hall deserves a title shot, but since there is no champion, he will be putting the belt on the line in a rematch between Hogan and Sting at Super Brawl. And he starts to give Hogan the belt back, like he's going to wrap it around his waist. And then being very early 90s, he screams, "Not." And so then, you know, Piper keeps the tradition alive of being 5 to 10 years behind on trends. And so then Sting crotch chopped at Hogan and Hall and Bischoff. And so that right there was pretty much the death of Sting. The title, there is no champion. Sting had won the title after a build-up that everybody paid to order. Gets the title taken away from him, and now he has to wrestle him again, trying to get people to buy it again. And, you know, we'll see. Booker T beats Rick Martel for, well, he defends him, or he's defending the WCW TV title. After the match, Martel was going to lose his cool, but then he, the cooler head prevailed, and he handed Booker T the title and raised his arm and shook his hand. And Saturn attacked Martel. Booker T made the save. Then Saturn yelled at Martel, "Stooge, you stooged me."
What does that mean?
I have no idea. So Larry Zbysko comes out with Dusty Rhodes, of course, and to wrestle Scott Hall with Lou Spicoli. Dusty Rhodes got up from his broadcast position and accompanied Zbysko, of course, and Schiavone called it an emotional moment in our sport.
Oh, crap.
And they spent the first 3 minutes.
The greatest night, bro. Biggest night in the history of our business.
Yes, always. Hall went for the cover one time, and Zbysko, of course, kicked out. Then Spicoli ran to the ring. Dusty caught Spicoli, gave him some bionic elbows. Sorry, the crowd popped as Schiavone screamed, "The dream is back!" And then Dusty untucked his shirt, then threw an elbow, but hit Zbysko instead of Hall. And then Dusty stood in center ring as Hall signaled to him, and then Dusty unbuttoned his shirt, revealing an NWO shirt. This was, all right, let me just start by saying Dusty Rhodes is one of my favorites ever. He is, by far, part of my favorite announce team of all time. In my opinion, the best announce team of all time is Schiavone, Dusty Rhodes, and Bobby Heenan. I thought them three together gelled so perfectly, and, I mean, have you laughed any more at any announce team than you did with those three, Couture?
Oh, well, maybe Grill and Bobby Heenan.
Possibly, but, I mean, but Dusty was just so crazy, and Bobby Heenan would make fun of him, and Schiavone was trying to be the straight guy. It was just so great. Oh, man. All right, then Heenan says that Dusty...
What? Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Heenan said Dusty had just spit in the face of everyone in the sport. Schiavone didn't say a word. Interesting storyline, I guess.
Yeah, this came off like doing... turning the guy just for the sake of turning him, you know, just a, like somebody just thought it up like right before they went out there or something. I don't know. You know,
right,
just some random turn.
It was really very random. Very random.
Of course, the fans for him turning the NWO because they taught everybody that the NWO was cool and WCW was not. So
of course he wanted to turn. But can you... do that Steiner's match?
Yeah. I had Rick and Scott Steiner and Ray Traylor with Ted DiBiase. They beat Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell, and Conan. Sounds like a match I've seen maybe a dozen times, like in the past 3 months. But Scott pinned Conan in 12 minutes. During the ring introduction, Schwann said he just didn't feel like talking. He was still sulking from his good friend Dusty Rhodes turning his back on WCW, and he asked for Tanay to come out and relieve him. Heenan said Dusty, along with Laird, helped Schiavone get into the wrestling, and the Dusty turn was like being stabbed in the back. And Schiavone said his and Dusty's kids played together. And, yeah, Schiavone let his kids play with the Gold Dust. So, when Scott wanted to start the match, Rick insisted he start, and Scott leave the ring. Bagwell mocked their lack of unity, and after taking a beating for several minutes, Ray Traylor hot tagged Rick Traylor, and Rick had yet to tag in Scott. Scott grabbed the referee ringside and went into a rage over not being allowed to tag in. As Bagwell had Rick in a chin lock, Traylor and Scott argued on the ring apron about where they were supposed to stand. Jesus, the kids. At 11 minutes and 20 seconds, Rick hot-tagged his corner, and both Traylor and Scott entered the ring. When the ref got in his face, Scott shoved him, then gave Conan the dragon suplex. Scott made Traylor tag him in officially. Scott then gave him Conan the Steiner screwdriver for the pin. After the match, Buff and Scott had a pose down and stared at each other face-to-face. Giovanni pointed out that Buff and Scott never actually battled during the match. Scott followed Buff out of the ring as Traylor asked Scott if he was going to be a team player or not. And Buff said he wanted Scott to go back and do it again, which I guess is, I don't know what that means. But
what does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. Maybe have another pose down. I don't know.
All right. Kevin Nash with the Giant. Or Kevin Nash with Hulk Hogan, sorry, and Eric Bischoff. Pin the Giant. The pretty
Nash
much the finish
with that dive over the top rope in this match. What the hell was he thinking?
What'd you say?
I said he did a dive over the top rope to the floor on the Giant in this match. What the hell was he thinking?
No idea. No idea. It was awesome though.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. So. The finish essentially is Nash threw a pot of hot coffee at the Giant, which why there was a pot of hot coffee there in the first place, who knows. Nash slipped as he lifted the Giant and fell forward, and man, the Giant landed hard on his neck.
Yeah, he landed
bad. Yeah, like it looked horrible.
It was kind of cool the way they did it because it looked like he just lifted him up and then just let him go on purpose to drop him right on his head and neck. So,
do you think he did it on purpose?
No, he didn't do it on purpose. I was just saying it was kind of what they were looking. I think he wasn't expecting because he did the jackknife on the Giant like. A year earlier when the Giant was, well, he was much lighter than he was at this point. I'm just saying it looked like for the storyline, it looked like he just lifted him up and then just dropped him right on his head and neck on purpose.
Yeah.
Just kind of let go of the move. So.
Yes. Main event. Bret Hart. Ric Flair. You want me to take this one, or you got it?
Yeah, you can take this one.
All right. Bret Hart wrestled Ric Flair. Right at the beginning, Bret got Ric Flair in the figure four, which was, I don't know, kind of stupid, I thought. Flair reached the ropes. Then they did a lot of headlocks and chops and back-and-forth action. And then Flair started working on his leg. And then one time while Flair was going for, you know, like a figure four. Brett got him with a surprise inside cradle, and got some near falls. Brett was telling the ref that the count was slow, which Flair came back, you know, while he was arguing with the ref. Flair applied the figure four. Brett reversed it about a minute later. Good match, you know. All the Bret Hart spots, you know, the cliche ones that he does. Then he started pounding Ric Flair in the corner.
That he yelled at Rick, that he yells at Ric Flair about. He did all his main moves.
Yes.
Routine.
Yes. Yes. He hits him with a backbreaker, elbow drop, superplex. And then he applies the sharpshooter. And Flair just tapped out. And that was it. That was Bret Hart's big first match in WCW. Was that essentially? That was pretty much it. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Oh God. So.
That wasn't the main event.
Oh no, it was not the main event. Because
versus Randy Savage.
The reason that was the we'll do this match before we. Head off. One funny thing was Hulk Hogan was planning on doing a run-in in this match. And Hulk Hogan doesn't do run-ins in semi-main events, you know. He just does them in main events. So even though no one cared about Lex Luger versus Randy Savage, this is the main event, okay?
This kind of is one of his like, main event appearances from in, like, in his contract or something.
Possibly.
Like, you know, like how the Demon had to be billed as in a main event match. Like in,
yeah, he'd have a special main event match against Norman Smiley as the third match on Thunder. But yeah, like, all right. So, Luger beats him with a torture rack. What happened was, They're brawling in the crowd, of course, and Luger gets in Liz's face. She slaps him. Luger gives Savage a forearm, power slam, and just torture wrecks him. And Hogan yells at Hall because Hall's helping Savage. Savage then knocks Hall off the apron, and then after the match, Hogan attacks Luger. Sting runs in to make the save. Luger racks Nash. Sting has Hogan and the Scorpion. Sting and Luger throw all of them out in the ring and celebrate together as the show went off the air. But, come on, you know? All right, so you do think you could do next Saturday?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we will be back next Saturday. I should have a more time available because I don't think I'm working next Saturday. I'm almost positive I don't have to. I do have to work today, which is, of course, extra day, which sucks.
I'm going to the Heart Attack Grill this afternoon.
Where are you going?
To the Heart Attack Grill that just opened here in Dallas.
Oh, my gosh. I've wanted to go to the Heart Attack Grill ever since I saw the commercial for it. Like, they have one in Phoenix, I think, too, which I didn't even know that it was there until after WrestleMania, and I was in Phoenix, so that really bummed me out. But the Heart Attack Grill,
it's like one of those places where it's kind of like Hooters, and they got all the waitresses are all in little nurse outfits, and they give you like a medical wristband when you first get there, and then they, you know, they take your order and they call it diagnosing you, and they put you in, but like in a gown or something like that, and there's
that's your napkin is the gown. So what are you planning on ordering? Are you gonna get that triple?
I don't know because I'm not. I'm just going. I'm really not sure what they got. It's big controversy here in Dallas. There are people protesting this place.
People are protesting. Why?
Because it's not healthy.
It's unhealthy.
Food, I guess. I don't. Yeah.
Well, then don't go there. People don't need to protest it. It's not like it's a freaking, you know, like a human rights violation.
it's so absurd, it's so stupid. But I'm going. I want to check out the whole thing. So I'm going to go later this evening.
Awesome. Yeah, give the finger to all the protesters, man. What assholes! I hate people that are like that. It's so stupid. Oh God! Complain about a food
place.
People
like that. Throw up. Well, I can't get a supersize at McDonald's no more. Motherfuckers,
yeah,
just like that.
Exactly. That's so awesome. Yeah, why do people care if you're fat? You know what I mean? or why do people care if, you know, someone likes to, you know, eat five cheeseburgers? It's not their business. If they don't want to, they don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, this is so stupid.
It's irritating. All right, everybody, thank you for listening and listening to our fabulous rants. We'll be back hopefully next Saturday at the same time. I will talk to you then, Couture. Take it easy, everybody.
Okay.